This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, July 16th. Well, wheat markets showing that it is able to stand on its own. Yesterday, the wheat markets were higher, while corn and beans were actually just a bit lower. So we've been talking about this for a while, but with the drought in the northern plains up into the Canadian prairies and the spring wheat crop getting decimated, we are looking at the wheat complex in general turning the corner into a bull market. It had been following corn and beans higher, so technically it was in a bull market just because feed grain supplies were so tight and we were pulling wheat into the feed channels aggressively here in the United States and around the world. Now with this change in the supply situation because of spring wheat, it is turning into a supply-driven bull market. And we're starting to see the demand really step up too, which is not unusual this time of year, with harvest largely complete, except for the northern plains here in the United States, and in full swing around the rest of the northern hemisphere. This is when you tend to see the tenders really step up, and we are seeing some pretty aggressive tenders. Now, Egypt bought some wheat earlier this week at lower prices than their previous sale, but that's changing. World FOB offers are starting to rally up, and of course, they're going to be following Chicago wheat, which is the benchmark for world prices. But Russian farmers are finding lower than expected yields in the southern region, which is where their exportable supplies originate, and they're not selling very much. They got an export tax, which is variable, and it's uncertain as to what those costs will be. So not only are exporters reluctant to put out offers, the Russian farmer themselves are just holding wheat and being reluctant to offer wheat into their own markets. So we see very slow movement coming out of southern Russia, which is going to set world price. Obviously, that is going to help elevate prices higher as our own prices move higher. Now, yesterday we threw another pretty significant dynamic into this with massive flooding across Germany. And now the heartbreaking result of that with the widespread deaths is that it's also doing significant damage to their crops. And again, this is right as you're into the heart of the growing season for spring crops, and of course winter wheat, they would be in harvest. So there's concern mounting up not only about just simply supply, but about the quality of that wheat. Much of that has already been booked for export. Now the question is it going to meet the specs of those exports? Germany is the highest quality wheat producer of the EU, of the major exporters from the EU. You've got France, Germany, the UK has long been considered part of that block, but Germany is the one that produces the high quality, a lot of hard wheat there. So suddenly now you have a big question arising. And this comes at a time where, again, coming back to the U.S. and the Canadian prairies, that region of spring wheat, that's where your high-quality hard wheat exports originate from. That's the vast majority of where the world finds its supply. And it's in the heart of a massive drought, at least as bad as 1988, if not worse. So we are looking at a significant drop in high-quality hard wheat supply worldwide. And I think this is not only, clearly Minneapolis has been responding to this, the market just keeps marching higher and able to stand on its own. Even when the winter wheats are lower, Minneapolis can move higher. Now with the wheat market in general pushing into a bull market on its own, then I think it's even easier for Minneapolis to move higher. And we're still looking at weather, of course, for corn and soybeans. And we are headed into the gut slot of pollination, and it's hot. It's hot across the northern plains. Don't have to tell anybody living there that. But as that heat ridge starts to migrate east, it's pulling east, and it's going to park over Minnesota, northern Iowa, at least for a few days, right in front of us. So they're looking at least mid to high 90s there. Of course, it's in the hundreds in the northern plains. The question now is, will that heat dome stick around into later July, in particular into August? if it looks like it's going to do that, then just completely changes the outlook for corn and beans. Right now, they've shaved off a little bit of yield for that region, but it's largely offset by the monster yields we expect to see in the southern Midwest and the eastern Midwest. If that heat sticks around, and there's not a lot of rain forecast for the next 2 weeks in major parts of Iowa, the main, most of Iowa. So if this heat now moves in there and sticks around, that you're going to see much more yield decline because it's happening right during pollination. So that's 20% of the U.S. corn crop in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and northern Iowa that is susceptible to this heat dome. Now, the GFS weather models have taken some of the rain away from eastern Iowa and northern Illinois. It's not a deal breaker at the moment, but if that continues to be the pattern, then we're looking at starting to shave off some yields there too. So the next 6 weeks are what it's all about. In fact, you know, if we really want to zero in, it's the next 3 weeks of weather, because you're going to be pollinating. You're pollinating right now in the southern part of the Midwest, and of course that's moving north right about the same time that that heat dome is threatening to get situated over that area. So everybody's got their, you know, holding their breath, seeing what's going to happen here. Market so far on the night session, wheat, of course, moving higher. We're up about 18 in Minneapolis, 14 and 15 in the winter wheats. But corn and beans been fairly quiet through the night session. We'll just see what the weather does. Now you're headed into a weekend. You're not going to have any trading for 2 days. You come in on Sunday night, you're going to have lots more weather forecasts happen between them, but it basically obviously just doesn't matter until you get to the Sunday night forecast. And that will take you into the next 6 to 10 days, which takes you into the end of July. So there's a lot going on here. And these markets are big, big, big. And it's corn and beans. Corn has been the leader forever since last fall. We've been in a demand-driven market for corn. Soybeans not far behind. We had the epic battle for acres. We didn't get enough of either one. And now you've got this massive drought across the west, across the northern plains, Canadian prairies, threatening to settle in on the northern and western Midwest. These are, like I said, these are big, big markets. If that happens, if that heat kind of moves in, even for a short time, even for 10 days, it's, again, right during the heart of pollination, these markets go sharply, sharply higher because you just don't have any wiggle room. And if it weren't for the huge amount of rain and moisture available in the southern and west, or eastern Midwest, we already would be much higher in all of these markets. So we're right on the cusp of something big or something that might just kind of fizzle out. But this is the time. If you're looking to be a part of this wheat, you know, yeah, Minneapolis pretty much has left the station. The winter wheats are still there. They had to work their way through harvest pressure. Now they're starting to come in line with Minneapolis, and everything's moving higher. That Minneapolis tide is lifting all the boats here. For corn and soybeans, they're different markets, and I think that there's still opportunity there. But if you come in on Sunday night, the market's sharply higher, I think we're off to the races. So there's that. Export sales were pretty decent. Wheat, 425,000 tons. That was within the range of estimates. Corn at 272, soybeans at 312. Not looking, didn't get much there, not really looking for much. Of course, last week was a holiday week as well. It's also worth noting that Brazil is importing Argentine corn. The talk was about 500,000 tons worth. And that's as Brazil is harvesting its corn crop. So it just gives you some indication of what the disaster is unfolding in Brazil. They are the world's second largest exporter of corn behind the United States. And they fill that gap from now until our harvest. And clearly, they're not going to be able to fill that gap. So demand's going to come for old crop corn, and it's going to be demand right off the combines. So I don't see this market pulling back, even if it's a flat market, even if weather doesn't get really hot and we don't have any more damage to the crop. Demand is there to siphon off everything coming off the combine. And so this bull market is well intact. I just don't see, you're not going to have record yields in the Western Midwest. So you might have enough to satisfy this year's demand, but it doesn't rebuild stocks here in corn or in soybeans. And with wheat, we're moving backwards. So it's a demand-driven bull market to start with. We're throwing a little supply situation on it. And I think this bull market sticks around for another year, just the way things are panning out. And with wheat, again, it's entering into its own bull market where it could stand on its own two legs aside from corn and beans, but you still have that corn and bean bull market. So this puts a lot of pressure on the Southern Hemisphere coming into the fall and winter, so we'll see how they perform. But from a supply and demand perspective for now, over the next 6 months or so at least, it looks like we are definitely in an uptrending market. Again, we're going to see a lot of volatility over the next few weeks, but if you get breaks in the market, I would be a buyer. I just think that there's significant upside potential here in all of the grains. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.